So, I want to tell you, you know, I've told you this before, but we love being here, of course. We love being over at Elkhart when we're there. And I just want you to know that we love you all. And it's just a privilege and an honor to bring the Word of God to your midst.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, how about this? Some things are going to happen tonight. He already told me some things he wanted me to deliver tonight, so I know some other things are going to happen. But how about for right now, how about turning to 1 John? Hallelujah, Jesus. I think we need to go over something one more time. I want to go over it one more time before I leave here this time. But just because I leave here doesn't mean you need to quit going over it and reminding yourself of what you're supposed to be, of what God is and what you're supposed to be and what God is in you and what you're supposed to be to the world. See? So I'm going to remind you one more time and leave you with it, and then you can remind yourself and each other. You can remind each other. You know that, don't you, that you can remind each other? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. 1 John, in verse 1, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the Word of life. I just love it when he says, the Word of life. You know where he's headed when he says the Word of life. That what he's about to say, is your life, and your life in God, and that you'll be oozing that life out to others. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. I can tell you right now that when I come here, that which I've seen and which I've heard, I declare to you. That's what I'm up here for, is to declare that I've heard, declare that I've seen God do, declare it to you, that it'll give you more hope and give life in you, that you may give it to others. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, that you can have fellowship with me. Through that fellowship in Jesus Christ, we can have fellowship together. See, that's what it's all about. See, and that we can bring others in on the same fellowship that we have. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. I just want to be a helper, that your joy be full. See, there's a lot of people that need joy these days, real joy. I'm talking about joy from the Lord Jesus Christ, where it originates. They need that type of joy. They got one type of joy that doesn't last very long. They get a little bit of joy out of things they like to do on this earth, but the true joy comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, so that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And I'm backing up and reviewing here just a little bit, but it says that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If you're in God, there won't be any darkness dominating your life, controlling your life. Your life will be controlled by the light of God. Your life will be controlled by the Word of God. Because in Him there is no darkness. In Him is light. God is light. In Him is light. There is no darkness at all. So if you're walking in Him, you won't be walking in darkness. You won't be walking in sin. You'll be walking in the light of God. See? I know it seems harsh at times, you know, when I say those type of things and when you read those type of things, but this is the Word of God. That when you walk in Him, you walk in light because He's light, because He can't have any darkness. He's not capable of darkness. He is light. He's capable only of truth. There is no lie in Him. There is no untruth in Him. It's all light. It's all truth. And to be walking in Him, you walk in truth. You don't walk in a lie. You don't walk in deception. You know, that's just like people say, making excuses for not being here this weekend. Well, you didn't make any excuses. You're here.
Amen.
So I must not be talking to you, so I'll talk to others that might hear this message later. You made an excuse not to be here this weekend. Hey, you are what you are. Why not just say the truth and say you didn't want to be here? Don't make excuses. There is no lie in Him. So if you make excuses and make lies, then therefore, you're walking in darkness. You're not walking in truth. See? It's like saying, I'll go over here. I have to live with this. Okay? I don't like your jeans. Now, you know, you say, well, why do you say that? Because I don't like them. I could have lied, said I like them. But there's no light in that. God is truth. Now, really, I do like the jeans. I'm just trying to make a point. You understand? Some of you are sitting there looking like, oh my God! He is in trouble! For those on the message or hearing the audio later, I'm talking about, she's getting blocked. You come around this way. I won't bite. Go ahead, come around this way. I know what's going on. For those on the message, I was talking about my wife, Shelley, her jeans. Now, I really do like her designer jeans. It's just that I wanted to make a point. See, you need to start speaking truth. You say, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings when I don't like their dress or their jeans. Just say, well, okay, what do I say then? They're jeans. You have a dress. Well, I think you get the point. You need to start walking in light. Some of you are stretching the truth. And I know that we kid each other and give each other a hard time. I understand that. But some of you are stretching the truth and it's actually a lie. Now you say, well, it's just a little white lie. Well, it's still a lie. And in Him, there is no lie, there is no untruth. He is all truth, He is all light. God is light, and God is love. You say, well, I don't really love that person. I mean, well, hey, as a Christian, the light is supposed to be in you that you love the unlovely.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. Now, that doesn't mean that you let them take advantage and run over you and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And we as ministers, we have to draw the line sometime and realize that out of love, we have to draw the line and say, okay, no more. You stole from the sheep long enough. You stole from God long enough. We're going to draw the line. Now, you're going to have to start doing something on your own. Now, we will draw the line. But that is because we do love you. And we know that you need to stand on your own 2 feet and seek God for yourself. You're just wanting us to keep seeking God for you. No, we have to draw the line at some point and say, you know, you're going to have to stand on your own 2 feet and seek God yourself and get this stuff out of your life. But God is truth. God is love. He's light. In Him, there is no untruth. There is no darkness. God is love. God is light. See? If you're going to be in Him, you're going to have to learn and develop in you to love the unlovely. And that's where the world is at. That's the world is the unlovely. We want to win the world for Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher one time, bless his heart, he's gone on to heaven now. But he said, you can get stinky messing around with the sheep. And I thought at the time, you know, it's one of them deals where you know that you know that you know that it wasn't of God. You know, you just say, well, God bless Jesus' heart. He said, you can get stinky when you live with the sheep. You got to watch living with the sheep. Hey, that's what it's all about.
That's right.
The sheep is what it's all about, and the sinners and the world, that's what it's all about. That's what Jesus did. Amen. He went to the tax collectors, the scum of the earth, during his time were the tax collectors. Amen. Yet he would be in their houses and talking to them. See? At some point, you can't, it's not a deal where, you know, it's like the example this morning about the husband and the wife and the breakfast and the bacon sizzling, or was that last night? I don't remember. You know, this all runs together for me, but that's okay. But you know what I'm talking about. You can't just will to love. That'll only go so far. And, you know, if you weren't here, we were talking about, and I know you two have experienced this, you know. I'm going to just use you two, okay? So Eddie, him and Betty, they go to a marriage seminar, and, you know, and they come home determined within themselves to be better to each other. And Eddie, he's going to be more of a model husband, so he comes home, and every morning, he starts to get up every morning, he cooks bacon and pancakes for Betty, and says, just wait right there, honey, in bed. I'm going to bring them to you. And, you know, and he cooks that bacon, and it's sizzling in that pan. And, man, can't you just smell that aroma, you know? And he cooks those pancakes, and he lays a rose right across the plate and takes it to her in bed. Oh, I mean, she, you know, hey, I really got me a doozy of a husband. Isn't he wonderful, Lord? Oh, praise God. The next morning, he cooks her bacon and her pancakes and lays that rose across the plate. Y'all are liking this, aren't you? And takes it to her in bed. And she just, you know, it's so wonderful. The third day, he does the same thing, brings her pancakes and bacon, and it's sizzling in the pan. And all that aroma just floats into the bedroom. He brings it to her with a rose on the plate. And the next morning, the fourth morning, he brings her those pancakes and that bacon on the plate with that rose on there. And she says, don't you have anything in this house besides pancakes? And he says, well, I didn't want to fix them for you anyhow. Well, see, all that is willing to do something. You've got to begin to put things to death in your life and change things in your life that the true love of God can flow forth toward someone. Whether it be your wife or your husband or the world out there, regardless of who it is, you have to do things in your life to make sure that the true love comes forth. The foundational love. The God kind of love. God is light. God is love. See? You have to change where you're at in order for that to happen. It can't just happen because you willed it. You have to put some things into action in your lives. Turn with me. See, I think I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 4. No, I'm sorry. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Glory be to God. I can just smell that bacon cooking. I don't think after telling that story and giving that example that he will be too inclined to cook that bacon and pancakes in the morning, because he will think, well, if I do that, then she's going to know that I've done it because Charlie told me to do it. You know, so I don't think he's going to be too inclined.
I don't have no
rose. Oh, okay. Let's start in verse 43, chapter 6, verse 43. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit, for men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. What did we say in the past few teachings? That whatever you are is what you'll do. Out of your heart is going to flow what you really are. If your heart is good, then good is going to come out of your heart. See, whatever kind of tree you are, that's what you're going to produce through this life. And that's what people are going to see. They're going to look to you. It has nothing to do with passing out tracts or trying to witness on a street corner. There's nothing wrong with that, but this has nothing to do with that. This has to, what your tree is what people see. And whatever you are will eventually come out to others around you. Whatever you are will eventually come out to others around you. We'll know what you are sooner or later. People come to this church and they come to other churches and leave another church to come here. But listen, the same reason that they left another church and came here is the same reason that they'll leave this church and go somewhere else. Unless they do something to change it. The same reason they left other churches and came to Eternal Harvest is the same reason that they'll leave Eternal Harvest and go somewhere else. Unless they do something to change it. See? You have to make a change on the inside to change the way you've been doing over the past several years. You can't continue on same as, same is, same old deal. You can't continue on doing the same things. Something has got to change. If you're walking in unforgiveness toward people or toward someone in your life, you've got to do something to change that unforgiveness, or you'll continue to walk in unforgiveness. It'll continue to keep you bound up. It'll continue to hurt you the rest of your life unless you do something to change it. Whether it be unforgiveness, whether it be rejection, whether it be intimidation like Pastor Shelley was talking about this morning, regardless of what it is, you have to do something to change that stronghold or it's going to continue to dog you the rest of your life.
Amen.
Many of us have things that have kept us bound up our entire life because of what happened in our childhood or how we were raised. It's usually not just one thing. It's usually over a period of time. It's usually not just a one-time thing that happens. Sometimes it is, but usually it's not. For most people, it's something that happened over a period of time and it got embedded in their life and became a stronghold.
Amen.
See, well, you've got to change that. You've got to do something to change. You can't just keep on same old, sitting on the pew and not doing nothing about it. You've got to start to do something about it in order to change it. Well, they just all of a sudden left me. You know, my husband just all of a sudden left me. My wife just all of a sudden left me. Listen, what was there was already there.
Amen.
It wasn't something that you did. You might have did something to trigger it, but it was always there. It was always there in their life. See? So he says, every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Whatever kind of fruit that you're producing these days is the kind of tree that you are. If you're producing rotten fruit, it's because you got problems in your tree.
Amen.
See? You got problems in your life that need changed. Well, let's go on here. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his heart his mouth speaks. Just like I told the girl one time while I was up here pastoring. I want a husband. Is that so wrong? And I'm going to move in order to get me a husband. So you're going to put God second. Now let me get this straight. I want to make sure that I hear this right. You're going to put God second. You're going to change locations just so you can get a husband regardless of what God wants to do. She said, well, yeah, what is wrong with that? I mean, you know, what's wrong with me? Well, listen, For one thing, lust is at work. The other thing is your heart is corrupt. You got an evil heart. Evil in God's eyes because you're not wanting to put Him first and depend on God to bring a husband in your life. But she went on and done what she wanted to do. Just like I said, unless you change things, you're going to do what you want to do.
Amen.
I can't change you. They can't change you. Pastor Earl and Bed can't change you. You're going to do what you want to do.
Right.
See? Unless you do something to change that in you that you know that is wrong. Well, how do I know that's wrong? Well, we're going to cover that in just a little bit. But you have to do something to change that. We can't change you. All we can do is take the Word of God and preach it to you as God gives us the utterance. But you have to do what's necessary to make the changes. See? Let's go on here and say, well, that's good stuff. I don't know if you like it, but I like it. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Let me repeat it. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Why do you call me Lord, but yet you do not do the things that I say? Why do you call me Lord, but you do not do... Look at me. It was there for 2,000 years. You can wait and read it later. Why do you call me Lord and you do not do the things that I say? But yet you call me Lord. All right, now you can look back down. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. These are the ones that does His sayings. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. What did Pastor David say? Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Who does that? Who builds his house? Who digs his foundation deep and builds his house that can withstand the storms, Mark? The one who does his sayings.
Amen.
The one who not only hears his sayings, but does them. Not just hear them. Not just hear them. Not just hear them. But does them. He's the one who digs the foundation deep and it withstands the storm when it comes. See, he doesn't say the one who digs the foundation deep, if the storm comes, it'll stand. He says that the storm, when it comes.
Amen.
When it comes. When it comes. Everybody in here may be facing something different. But every person in here will face a storm at one time or the other. A lot of people, most people, all people will face small storms, but each one will face a major storm in their life at one time or the other. I can vouch for it. Every person in here will face a major storm. Is your house going to withstand the storm? Is your foundation dug deep that you can stand that storm beating vehemently against the walls of your house? Or is your storm going to collapse? Let's go on here and read just a little bit more. Oh, okay. All right, well, they know what I meant. I start seeing verses ahead and it throws me off just a little bit. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great, because he did not dig down and dig the foundation. from the ground up, from the very foundation, dug deep where it would stand the stream that came against it. Which one? The ones that did not do the sayings of God. The ones that did not do what the Word of God said. Their house fell under the power of the storm. All right, now let's go. You say, well, I'd like to know just what do I do and how do I make sure that this doesn't happen? How do I make sure that I begin to take things out of my life? How do I make sure that the things in my life are even wrong? Well, you know, we know that adultery is wrong. I mean, you know, someone can go out and commit adultery, and we know because that inward witness inside, for one thing, is telling us this is wrong. You go down to rob a bank, you know. You know it's wrong. I mean, you know, there's just some things you know that's wrong. Well, what if it's something that you're not sure if it belongs in your life or not? What do I do then? Well, let me show you that. Let's go back like we did last night to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll start in verse 12 this time. We'll shorten it up a little bit. Start in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4. For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to His eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Unless you get in the Word of God, you're not going to be able to tell when things in your life, some things are right or wrong. The enemy can get you used to living with something in your life and convince you and deceive you and convince you that that thing is right, and even though it's contrary to the Word of God. And if it's contrary to the Word of God, it is wrong. Regardless what it is, if it's contrary to the Word of God, you're walking in some darkness. If it's contrary to the Word of God, there is no light. Because He is truth, He is light, His Word is Him. You want to know what God looks like? This is God. His Word.
Amen.
That is Him. Unless you have something to compare with. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talked about, he said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What do you think he was talking about? He was talking about the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and comparing that's in you with the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit to find out what is right and what is wrong, whether you're a baby in Christ or a mature person, that you won't be deceived. So deceived, he goes on and talks about being so deceived that you lose your reward, that you lose your salvation. Even went to that extent. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. You've got to have something to compare with to make sure that what's in your life is right, or to find out if it's wrong. Well, the only thing you've got is the Word of God. There is nothing that I depend on except the Word of God. What about God's voice? I check it with the Word of God. The enemy can come and make it seem like to you and sound like to you that God is talking to you, and it's the devil himself. Or one of his demons, I should say. He don't have time to waste on you. He's got demons for that. You have to have something to make sure that you're not deceived in the days to come. You're not deceived in your life and be walking in darkness when you thought all along you were walking in light. Now, thank God for the grace of God. You know, His grace is wonderful, and especially, you say, well, when does His grace apply? When you hate it as much as anything and you want out of it. When you're deceived The grace of God's there for a while until you walk so far in that deception that you walk out from under that grace, and then it changes. But when you hate something in your life and you're wanting to get rid of it and you don't want it anymore, the grace of God applies to your life. See? You start liking it and start going against God in order to keep that thing in your life that's against the Word of God. The grace of God doesn't apply anymore. When you start hating it and you want out of it, you want free from it, then that's when the grace of God is applying in your life. That grace will be there with you so that will give you time in order to beat that back and get out of it, get it out of your life. See? But there's only one thing to compare whether you're hearing the voice of God, whether you're seeing things in your life are right or wrong, and it's the Word of God that divides spirit from soul. You can be hearing something in your soul or feeling something in your soul, and it's not of the Spirit. See? Well, the Word of God is what rightly divides it. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? Is this right or wrong? I see people that get into relationships. They never check with God. And it goes back to that other example I gave. They never check with God to find out if God wants it or not. Their soul wanted it. They were lonely. Their soul wanted it. Their emotions wanted it. But they never checked with God to see if it was right or wrong. They never even checked the Word to see if it lines up with the Word of God to find out if it was right or not. Because their soul wanted it. You're walking in darkness. If you get in that shape, you're walking in darkness. Your soul led you into that darkness. Your flesh led you into that darkness. See? But it's the Word of God that will determine the fruit on your tree. He said, well, I don't know if I have a good tree or a bad tree. Well, hey, look at the fruit on your tree. Compare it with the Word of God and see how it lines up. If you've got good fruit, it'll line up. Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of your born-again spirit. If it comes from your born-again spirit, it's good fruit. Look in the Bible and see what those are. Love. Walk in love. God is love. It's the Word of God that changes those things on your tree. And that's the only... And sometimes, it seems like, you know, whenever you start comparing things and you start getting in there and spending time in prayer, praying in the Spirit, doing a little fasting along the way, worshiping God, getting your soul lined up with God's presence instead of on its own, start doing those things and you think, my goodness, I'm in terrible shape. Well, whenever you face that, that's when you put an axe to the root of the tree. Start all over. You mean I have to do that sometimes? Sometimes. Then you start coming into the church blubbering because you realize how ugly you are. I didn't mean ugly physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Pastor, can you help me? I'm so ugly. Hey, that's a good thing. You got the right ticket out when stuff like that begins to happen. Because that means you hate what you see in your life and you want to change it. You don't want to live with it any longer. You want to change it. That's a good thing. That's a good start in the right direction. But the Word of God is like a two-edged sword and it cuts both ways. It not only will cut the head off the enemy, but you can turn it on yourself and carve those things out of your life that you know are not right. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting both ways. Marrow from the bone, rightly divided. Light from darkness. I want the darkness out. Get in the Word of God. Begin to meditate the Word of God. Begin to worship the Lord your God. Begin to worship Him night and day. Keep the Word of God upon your mouth. You can't keep it upon your mouth unless you begin to meditate it. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Continually keep it in your mouth. The Word of God. The Word of God.
What's in the Word of God?
Everything we've been teaching. Like praying in other tongues and fasting. Love. God is light. Worship. Meditation of the Word. Did I say that? Anybody that meditates the Word of God, sooner or later is going to fast. Anybody that meditates the Word of God, sooner or later is going to pray in other tongues, even if they're a Baptist. It's the truth. Anybody that meditates the Word of God, sooner or later, is going to end up spending their life worshiping God night and day. Anybody that meditates the Word of God is going to become a giver. A giver of their time, a giver of their money. Because God is light. And His Word is light. Because He is light. It's His Word and He can't lie. He can't tell a lie. That's why they say God's a giver. Yeah, He's a giver. That's why if you get in the Word and you stay in the Word and you stay in the things of the Word, you're going to be a giver sooner or later. There's some of you in here called to be givers. Is there a calling for that? Yeah, there is. Sure is. Romans chapter 12. With liberality. Glory be to God. I want to go one more place here. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. Verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has now, the God who has commanded light to shine out of darkness, he's talking about in Genesis, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That same light that shone in Genesis upon the earth, that same light shines in your life. If you're a born again person, you have that light in you. There's just one problem. We can't see it all the time. But it's there. It's there, and He is light. And He wants you to be a vessel of this life. He wants you to be a vessel of God. He said, in the next verse, He said, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. This treasure in this earthen vessel is your born-again nature. And we want it to come out of this earthen vessel and shine upon the world that everyone can see the light. But that earthen vessel sometimes is so thick that we can't see the light shining out of it. Well, we're going to have to get in the Word of God more in the days to come. We're going to have to start getting in the Word and meditating the Word where that light can come out of us that's enclosed in this earthen vessel and doesn't shine bright enough. He wants it to shine bright throughout the world. And you all have this light in your earthen vessel and we're not able to see it all the time. But I know this, that if you get in the Word of God and begin to take the Word of God and rightly divide in your life, that light is going to be able to shine through this shell, because this shell, this earthen vessel, is going to get thinner and thinner and thinner where the light can penetrate to the world. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but that's good preaching. That's good stuff. I wish I'd have thought of it. We have this treasure in earthen vessel that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That it may be of God. What people see, what is exampled before the world, be of God and not of us. Say us.
not be of us, but be of God. Well, the only way that's going to happen is if you get in the Word of God and begin to use it on your own life. Glory be to God.